bring greetings to each of you this morning in the name of Christ. I want to give a special welcome to everyone that's here today, and God bless you especially for praying. I appreciate all the assurances that came through in relation to praying for the service. And that's so important in preparation for a service like this. Not only this morning, but I believe that we find it a real blessing to be able to pray for the service, seeking God and His will for each of us as we take our place, whether it's teaching, leading songs, or preaching, whatever it is that God would have His way and that He would be honored and glorified and that we would worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, the title of the message, I felt led to speak on this subject, recognizing the importance of and recapturing the cutting edge. Now, some of you might be able to immediately go to a setting that this message would apply to and would be pulled from, but recognizing the importance of and recapturing the cutting edge. I'd like to have us turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We're not going to be able to include everything about this account and go back and look at the historical part of this account, but I'd like to take these seven verses and read them and then use them for a background reference to making applications in this message. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell and be. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam or cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put it, and he put out his hand and took it. Now, there's a couple questions I'd like for us to think about before we move into this message. And that is, and I'd like to make this personal, because I feel like in looking at this subject, I, for one, need a subject like this. And I'd like to make it in such a way that, as someone has said, that if we preach to the lambs, the sheep will be sure to get it. And so I'd like to keep it on a level that the children can understand and get a hold of it. And if they can do it, then we older ones should be able to grasp it. There's two questions I'd like for us to consider as an introduction to the subject. Number one is, how committed are we to experience God's presence and power in our personal lives, in our homes, in our churches, and in our schools? Second question, what is our level of surrender and commitment to God to be willing to experience the working power of God in our personal lives? How willing are we? And think about those two questions. Now, I'd like to summarize the answer to these questions this way. Our level of surrender and commitment to God will be revealed by what we are willing to do to see it become a reality. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. Let me repeat that. Our level of surrender and commitment to God will be revealed by what we are willing to do to see it become a reality. Now, the reality is this: to experience the working power of God in our life. In essence, that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, as we look at this story that we just read from 2 Kings chapter 6, as we look at that, we may wonder what is in this story or what's in this account that would make it so that we could pull from it and make applications for our day. And I find it interesting that there are so many things that we could talk about and so many applications that we can make, but I trust that we'll go into this account far enough that will help us to understand what we're talking about when we're making applications to our present day life. And so as we look at this story, we wonder if there's anything in this account for our homes, or let's back up a bit. Is there anything in this account that we can make an application to our own personal life? Now, I'd like to take it to the next level, and that is our homes. And then, parents. Is there anything in this account that we can make application to parents? Another level is our churches. And along with the church, our churches, our leaders, our laity, our schools, our teachers, our school boards. Is there anything in this account that all of these groups could learn and profit by? Well, we're going to be looking at some of that shortly. Now, I'd like to say this, that we're talking, one of the things that come through in this account is that that's outstanding is that one of these prophets, as he was chopping down a tree, his axe head flew off and it flew into the water, into the Jordan River. And he was concerned, he was alarmed, and he said, "Alas, master," he said, "because it was borrowed." Well, what did that have to do with the axe head flying off of the handle? There's probably a couple of things, and one is that the Old Testament required that if someone went and borrowed something and it got injured or it got destroyed, the one who borrowed from the lender needed to replace it or repair it. Now, while we don't have that same standard today as far as the Bible, and yet it's closely related that it's only right that when we borrow something from somebody that we don't keep it and take it as our own unless the lender gives it to us. The other thing about that is that when we borrow something, it ought to be returned the way it was borrowed. Isn't that right? or if it's lost. And this is one thing about, I thought about this prophet who had the axe head fly off of the handle, is that he was to return it, he was to return the axe head, but if it was in the water, how was he ever going to return it or replace it? Because it was borrowed. Of course, the other thing is, he would never get anywhere chopping down a tree with just a handle. And I've got more to say about that a little bit later as well. But what could he do? Well, anyway, we know the story how that Elisha, God working through Elisha, gave instructions on how to have this iron come to the top. And Elisha and the prophet that lost the axe head was obedient to that. And he went and he took the iron or the axe head in his hand and retrieved it from the water. Now, let me ask you, without an axe head on the handle and use the handle, could you chop down a tree? No. The axe head had to be in place, but the axe head itself needed to be attached to the handle. Now, there's a parallel application that could be made there that God is putting into our care and our responsibility, into our hands, a power that he is entrusting us to use. That power that God gives us is borrowed. It doesn't belong to us, does it? God can give it, God can take it. If we don't cooperate, God will withhold that power. But God expects us to use the power that he loans us, that he gives us, and we are as vessels to use the power, not for our own glory, but for God's glory and for his purpose. And so what I'm saying is this, that is it possible that in many circles and churches today, and I'm going to call them modern churches, churches that have drifted away from God's word, could it be that they're using the handle without the axe head? Now, if you understand my point, that the axe head is symbolical of God's power, and the axe head needs to be attached to the handle in order for God to be able to work. And simply to not attach God's power to this vessel, our performance and our programs and our traditions, and I've got a little bit more to say about that too, a little bit later, but our programs and our traditions, unless the axe head is applied, attached to our handle, our work is not going to be effective. We're going to be using the handle, and we're going to be swinging and swinging and swinging and swinging, thinking that we're getting somewhere, but the power is lacking. And you know, Paul has something to say about that. Where is it? 1st and 2nd Timothy, where he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, is he downplaying the form? And there are people that are doing that today. Say, form doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. It's in the heart. It's what's in the heart that's going to make a difference. And that's so true. But what's in the heart is going to have its effect on the outside. and the way we live and the way we act, conduct ourselves. So what I'm saying is this, that coming back to, I mentioned about traditions and structure, that a healthy church life will include traditions and it will include structure. But the power, the axe head, will need to be attached to make it effective. I hope you understand and follow what I'm saying. And without attaching the axe head or the power of God, the work that we're pretending to accomplish is just simply swinging the handle without the axe head, without the power of God, and it's not going to be effective. Now, let's take just a few minutes to look at how this situation was handled that day with the prophet losing the axe head. There's some valuable lessons to learn about that. And also, in doing so, I think as a church, as individuals, we can learn how to handle situations similar to this. Let's notice some of the steps involved in recovering the cutting edge, which is the axe head. Number one, as we find in verse 5, it says that, and as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And so this man was concerned because he lost the axe head. And rightly so, but as soon as this man feels the axe head flies off, he cries out in despair. He knows that he cannot continue what he is doing until he recovers the axe head. Now, could it be that there are some in our day who have lost their axe head? The power of God. And they continue swinging the handle and try chopping without the axe head. In other words, they've lost contact with God. They've lost the power. The first step in recovering the power of the Spirit is coming to the place where we know that we don't have it. Now, I'm convinced that there are many people that walk through this life thinking they are filled with the Spirit when they have lost His power and do not know it. They are trying to live for God and to do His work in the power of the flesh and do not even realize that He is nowhere around. I think that in situations like this, the condition of many churches, modern churches, is like that of the Laodicean church that talks about in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. And I think I'm going to take time to read that. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 20, that's a serious thing. When people think that they have the Spirit of God, they're on fire for God, but they're only lukewarm, they're complacent. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 20, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I might insert here that the disciples in John chapter 20, verse 20, the Bible says that the disciples, when they saw Jesus, they had a 20-20 vision. In John chapter 20, verse 20, it's easy to remember. When they saw Jesus, they had a 20-20 vision. And this morning, when we see Jesus, we have a 20-20 vision, spiritually. Healthy eyesight. All right, now let's read on. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Well, may the Lord help us to settle for nothing less than the best that God can give us. In verse 5, the second step is, it involves confession. You know, when this man realized the axe head was gone, he immediately told Elisha what had happened. He confessed the fact that he had lost the cutting edge. And by admitting that he lost the cutting edge or the axe head, it was gone, he was also admitting to the fact that it had become loose and he had not bothered to tighten it. Could that happen to us? We may have the axe head attached to the handle, the power of God. But are there things that are coming into my life that's causing the axe head to become loose? And it's ready to be lost. Is there anything? And that's something that we need to consider ourselves and keep ourselves checked. But anyway, maybe he was so busy and enjoying his work of cutting down the tree that he never once gave it a thought about the axe head becoming loose and it was about ready to fly off. I don't know, but that is a possibility, and that can happen to us, that we become so busy and so involved in what we would consider as important work and working for even for God, that the axe head might be coming loose and gradually is slipping off of the handle. That's a possibility. Could it be, as I just mentioned, that the axe head is becoming loose and is about to come off? Are we concerned about our relationship to God? That would be one thing, one area to consider. Are we concerned about that? Are we keeping check on our relationship to God? Are we comparing our lives and our hearts with the Word of God? How do we line up? Secondly, are we concerned about our relationship to the church of which we are members of? Are we concerned about that? Are we concerned about our relationship to each other? Have we checked ourselves? How do we stand in line of what we had agreed to when we became members? Where are we in relation to our relationship to each other and our responsibility and accountability to each other? We're facing a time in life when individualistic attitudes are prevailing, and they can also become a part of each of us in the life of the church. That I'm not responsible. I don't care about what my brother thinks. This is the way I think, and this is what I'm going to do. But it's good. It would be good for, as members, and I was thinking about this a little this morning, what can I do to check myself as to where I stand with God? Go to the scriptures. And where do I stand in relation to the church? We need to check our relationships, first of all, with God and with each other. And as a suggestion, maybe there are times when we need to go back and pull out a copy of the standards of our church that we become members of. And how do we line up today with what we agreed to support back then? Are we still true to that? Well, those are some areas that I was thinking of. That could it be that the axe head is beginning to slip off the handle and we're losing our grip and our power with God? Now, I'd like to continue with some additional applications. And I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to say it again, that the axe head represents the power that God wants to channel through your life and through my life. The axe head represents the tools that God places in your hands to effectively do his work. You know, this young man, like the Christians today, so many, he was applying his presence and his effort to do something worthwhile for God, but he found out that without an axe head, the presence and the effort of himself were not enough. You know, cutting down trees without the axe head, being in place and being sharp doesn't get the job done. How many trees are we felling for God? And I'm making this personal. How productive am I in my Christian life? How satisfied am I right now with the fruit of my labor? Christians that have lost their axe head, they're not what they could be. They're not what they should be. In many cases, they're not even what they used to be. There's a lot of effort, but little or no production. Oh, they still go through the motions. They still swing and swing and swing, but they're swinging the handle. They talk about the days when the trees used to fall, and that was something, but not many trees are falling for them now. No fruit, no power, no joy. They've lost the axe head. Now, there's an illustration that I'd like to share that makes an important point. The story is told about a young, inexperienced logger who went into a logging camp up in the Northwest. By the end of the first day, after he was logging, the first day, he thought he was making some real good progress. He had the handle and he had the axe head. By the end of the first day, he had cut down 20 large trees. And when he got back in camp that evening around the campfire, he was bragging about how well he did. Well, one of the older and experienced loggers put his arm around him and said, "Well, you know, I believe 20 might be a first day record for a newcomer. Top men around here, after they've worked for a while and cut down trees, will cut down around 30 trees a day." He said, "Well, you keep this up and you'll soon be cutting about 30 trees a day." Well, so this inexperienced fellow, he said, tomorrow morning, he was eager to impress the rest of the fellows. So he said, "In the morning, I'm going to get up 15 minutes earlier, and I'm going to cut 15 minutes off my lunch hour." And then he decided he's going to pound and hammer away. And finally, when he finished at the end of the day, he only cut down 18 trees, and he was rather depressed. And so he said, "Well, the third day," he said, "I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier, and I'll work all the way through my lunch hour." So at the end of the third day, he cut down 16 trees. And then he said, cut down 16 trees, and then later on in the week, He spent more time and worked harder to cut down trees, and ended up, by the end of the week, he only cut down about a dozen trees. Now, what do you think his problem was? He went back to the camp and he was embarrassed, he was ashamed, and he was humiliated because instead of cutting more trees down, he was cutting less. So he goes back and he finally asks this experienced logger, he said, "What am I doing wrong? What's wrong that I'm cutting less than what I did to begin with?" And then the experienced logger asked him one question. He said, "Did you take time to sharpen your axe?" And this inexperienced logger, he said, he hung his head, rolled back his eyes, and he said, "No." He said, "I had so much work to do that I never took time to sharpen the axe." Now, could that be our experience? That we become so busy and so involved that we forget to sharpen our relationship with God and keep it intact? It's a challenge, isn't it? If God were to whisper something in our ears, whether preachers, parents, teachers, young people, would he whisper, "Have you taken time to sharpen your axe? Have you taken time to sharpen your axe head?" He might even ask, "Have you taken time to see if it's still in place?" You know, could it be, and I'm speaking to myself, first of all, could it be that I find myself swinging and swinging and swinging and hammering and pounding away and not being productive in the work of the Lord? Haven't we taken time to sharpen our axe head? Have we taken time to be with God? Do we still have the zeal, the earnestness that we once did? Do we have the joy of being in Christ, which is supposed to be like a fountain welling up inside of us? We find it drying up. The axe head was borrowed. The power that God gives us is not our own power. It's not power. It's not power of the flesh. And this is what Zechariah says, the Bible says, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's a divine power that comes from Jesus Christ and his spirit living in you and I. It's a gift from God. It's not our power. It's not my power. It's God's power. This morning, may God bless us as we strive to keep the cutting edge or the axe head secured and sharpened. And we do that by a close walk with God. God bless each of you. And thank you for praying. And God is faithful. When God is faithful, he's also able to perform that which he has promised. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father, we thank you that we can come to thee this morning through Christ. We do thank you for the blessings of salvation. Again, we thank you for the power that you give us and that help us to live a life that brings honor and glory to you. We pray that you would forgive us where we have failed and where we relied on our own strength and in our own power. We pray that you would help us to rely upon you and help us to continually seek your will and way in our life that we might live in victory. We thank you for the power that's available to those who whose lives and hearts are open. Pray that you would bless the work, your work, for your glory and praise. Pray that your name might be honored and glorified. We pray this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.